Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32 to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things we need in society today, as much if not more than anything else, is truth. And the source book for truth is none other than the Word of God. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And then further in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that ought to be the book that we develop and design our modus operandi, that is what we do, should be sourced out of the Word of God. It was the secularist George Orwell, 1947-48, when he wrote that dystopian novel, 1984 was the title of it. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that, just tune in to what's happening with the Communist Network News and what the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party is doing. And you'll wonder if there's anything called truth in the Beltway of Washington at all today. We need to understand it is the truth of the Word of God. This is the reason I enjoy so much what was said by the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's what we need to do in society today, is to stand for truth. I don't know about you, but when I hear some of our politicians in Washington talking about reaching across the aisle, that's talking about compromise. And there's not any place in the Word of God that I believe that gives us the right to compromise the truth of the Word of God. We need to recognize also, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what the Bible says, especially in Psalms 146 and in verse 3, "Put not your trust in princes nor in the sons of man in whom there is no help." Ladies and gentlemen, it's our help comes from God and from God alone. And we need to recognize that. And the sooner we do, the better off we'll be as a society. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, dialogue, and discussion about the issue today. We're going to be talking about banning the police and guns and allow the mob to be in charge.
That's lunacy.
Lunacy, absolutely.
That's lunacy.
Banning guns in the police and let the mobs be in charge. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the place in society today that inmates are running the asylum, and we're going to be talking about that today. Let me remind you, today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment and to answer all of your questions about professional as well as homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, how can I find that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find Old Glory flowing. It's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag flowing 24-7. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment. after we have a brief monologue, we're going to introduce our very special guest today. We'll have some dialogue and discussion with in relationship to the issues that's taking place in America. Not only those things that are taking place politically, but morally, ethically, and spiritually, and how we ought to respond as Christians. Go back and you study the scripture in Ezekiel 33 and verse 10. Ezekiel said, how should we then live? That is, knowing what's taking place and what we see happening in the world today, and especially in America. How should we then live? It was Francis Schaeffer, one that spoke so long in relationship to the defense of the gospel and the defense of the integrity of the scripture. Francis Schaeffer used that statement so many times during his lifetime and ministry. How should we then live? So based on what we're seeing happening today, that's the root, rudimentary, fundamental, bottom-of-the-line question we're going to be asking today. How should we then live? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe today we have the thugs, the BLM, the Antifa, and the crazies that seem to be in control of our government, our cities and our towns, and across the nation.
Oh, is that BLM? Is that Black Lives Matter? Or is that buying large mansions? What is it this week?
Both. They're doing buying, just it's kind of Black Lives Matter, but they're buying the large mansions also. Ladies and gentlemen, on the set with me today, I have one of our sons. We've got four sons, and I happen to be spending a couple of days with him up behind the mountains and the Smoky Mountains up in what he calls the southern tip of heaven here in Tennessee. And so we're jointly sharing this broadcast today. And we're going to be interviewing in just a moment a special guest that I think would be meaningful as to his insight onto what is taking place and what we need to do today. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the Black Lives Matter, the Antifa. By the way, Black Lives Matter, individual you're not familiar with it, has nothing to do with skin tonation or with ethnicity whatsoever. Black Lives Matter is a group of nothing but thugs. They are the professionally trained Marxists, and that's what they call themselves, made up of Marxists, and their designed purpose is to overthrow the United States of America. They hate God and want to dethrone God. Their goal is to defang anything that will be called truth and to undermine the nuclear family. Their statement's not mine.
It's a direct assault on Western civilization.
That's assault on our civilization, direct assault on the Word of God, direct assault on the plan of God for our created beings, that God's created us to love Him, to honor Him, and to serve Him. And their goal is to literally destroy the Constitutional Republic and make it a Marxist, Maoist, Leninist, secularistic, communistic society. And that's where we're going in the nation today. And that's not said in a negative fashion. It's said, ladies and gentlemen, with truth, and that truth ought to motivate us to understand that the warp and the woof of society, that means the total fabric of society, is being destroyed today. We have, as a nation, ladies and gentlemen, we've advocated the funding the police, criminalizing the patriots, and confiscating our guns. And I believe the Biden administration, while many executive orders today outlaw guns, and that's what they're doing with the multitude of the executive orders, literally outlawing guns, he's encouraging and allowing the burning of our cities while calling America, Americans, patriots, citizens, Christians, calling all of us that stand for truth, we're being called today the racist, the supremacist, and trying to, in some way, demean and destroy the moral ethics and the values of our fundamental foundation in America. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, the what I call the destruction of our nation, the undermining of the foundation. Psalms 11, verse 3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that is the mode and the method that's being used today to silence and to quiet anything that's against what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the evidence, I believe, of nothing but mayhem today in Minneapolis because of a police officer, whether it's right or wrong, we'll let a jury decide that, because a police officer being blamed with the taking the life of George Floyd. As a result of that, supposedly we're supposed to watch the thugs and the Antifa and the BLM literally destroying our nation. And while anybody that stands for truth will stand in any type of parade, they will consider it a riot and want to call out the National Guard, put a chain link fence, a 10-foot fence around the Capitol complex, and say that anybody that enters in somehow, some way is going against the rule of law.
But there's a greater history to this, and it's not just the George Floyd and the Dante Wright this past week, but you go back the lies, the Michael Brown thing, the hands up, don't shoot, complete lie, complete farce. And we had folks in the NFL that started kneeling and using that mantra, you know, and proclaiming the Black Lives Matter, which turns out to be a cultural Marxism pursuit. But the entire construct is built upon deception. It's built upon lies. And it is as divisive as things could possibly be. For 4 years, they said Donald Trump was divisive. For 8 years, we saw Barack Obama, every time there was a situation, he would inject himself. He would say that law enforcement acted stupidly in one case. In the case of Trayvon Martin, he said, if I had a son, it looked like Trayvon. And ignoring the fact that, like with Trayvon, the boy had problems. He had so many problems. He had been kicked out of school over and over. Criminal acts that ordinarily would bring about an arrest. However, because they did not want arrest and booking reports out of the local high schools, they started suspending or expelling. After the third time he was kicked out of school, his own mama kicked him out and said, you got to go stay with your daddy. You know, that it was a troubled child, and then he assaulted someone, did the ground and pound maneuver, and it just turned out that Zimmerman was capable of defending himself. And immediately the news runs with it. What do they say? It was a white Hispanic guy, and then basically they got all their facts wrong. Everything, yeah, but they made it a racial thing, black on white. You know what? I guarantee you, I don't know Zimmerman's heart, but I don't think he cared what color the person was that was on top of him.
He's protecting his life.
When you're getting your head pounded into the concrete, you react. In the case of Dante was resisting arrest. And the officer, by the way, it's interesting, that officer screamed out, taser, taser, taser. She wants to let all the officers know around, hey, I'm about to tase this guy. And then she pulled the trigger on the gun instead. But within hours, she had been relieved of her duty. She had resigned her office, and she had been arrested for manslaughter. By the way, this is a process working itself out. And within hours, the whole world knew that officer's name. How come Ashley Babbitt, that was the former Air Force veteran that was at the January 6th protest rally, whatever that went sideways in D.C. with a couple hundred folks doing things illegally, she was unarmed from what I understand.
Yes.
And there was a very clear, very deliberate act on the part of an officer there where she was shot. I mean, you see the gun in the picture, the hand out there, and a focused and deliberate act, and the trigger was pulled. And that officer today, we do not know his name or her name. By the way, notice I said his or her.
His or her.
Not one of the 48 other. But in any case, we don't know his or her name today. We know Ashley Babbitt died at the hands of law enforcement. We know that she was unarmed. We know that, you know, that there wasn't any direct threat on the officer. However, we don't know that officer's name. Why is that?
That's a good segue, Greg. I think it's time to introduce our guest for today. Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest on Let's Face the Issues today is former Congressman of District 1, Republican Congressman out of the state of Florida, Congressman Mike Hill. Mike, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on this broadcast today. I'm thankful that you are, number one, a conservative, number one, Christian conservative, yes. Republican. And I'm thankful for your stand. I'm thankful for your integrity. I'm thankful for your non-compromising position on the morals, the ethics, and the values, and especially on the constitutionality of our republic. Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to this broadcast.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. And I've been enjoying listening to you and your son's comments, and they have all been spot on. And one thing I would add, that what your son was just talking about, is when that police officer shot Ashley Babbitt in the Capitol, it was announced yesterday that there was no wrongdoing and he was completely exonerated. And we still don't know his name.
Can you wrap your mind around that? Can you give any logical rationale for that? I can't figure that one out.
No, it doesn't make sense at all. They said he was completely justified in shooting this unarmed woman, killing her, who was not really doing anything of violence. But here is this young man who is resisting arrest, reaching into his car, don't know what he's reaching in there for, who gets shot, and now this woman has been charged with manslaughter and arrested. What they are trying to do, and I saw an article, I think it was yesterday, where Obama is calling for defunding the police. But here's their overall goal. They want to replace it with a federal police force. They want to replace all the local police, sheriffs, and city police with a federal force that is trained by them and controlled by them. And that is when you are marching directly into the face of tyranny, a government, and because they want to confiscate all your guns, you won't be able to defend yourself against that police force, which is exactly what the Second Amendment was for.
Right. We watch what more federal investigations spawned against local and state law enforcement agencies under Barack Obama than we saw in any previous presidency. It seemed like every time there was a case or situation in which he did not agree politically, the Justice Department was militarized against state and local law enforcement. And I think it's the demonization of local law enforcement. And we've demonized law enforcement while at the same time deifying these criminals and these thugs. I mean, who else would make George Floyd a hero for the world to pattern itself at? Who else would make this Dante, who else would make him into a hero? I mean, he had apparently been arrested for aggravated assault, battery, attempted theft, you know, a litany of charges, and had violated his the terms of his release while he's on, I guess he was on release waiting for trial. These are issues from 3 years ago, but the warrant was outstanding for this young fella. And I don't believe that the officers involved cared if he was red, yellow, black, or white, or pink and purple with blue polka dots. It really didn't matter. When you have an individual that shows up on the screen, he's a wanted felon, he's been known to commit violent acts, he's been known to carry a weapon unlawfully, and you engage with him and that person starts resisting and then dives into an automobile. Now, I don't think she ever intended to kill this person. When you scream out taser, 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 it kind of expresses intent, and the shock in her voice. Oh my goodness, I've just shot him. I've just shot him. And you already have Crump out there doing his race baiting, saying that she intended to kill Dante. It doesn't make any sense.
And Congressman, one of the things you mentioned a moment ago with Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, that said we need to shut down the police departments or defund police or cease having police in order to bring in federal police oversight. It's not just with Obama. I have read articles where Ilhan Omar, Anya Presley, and Rashid Tlaib, of them have said that. In fact, they made the statement that we need to stop having policing. But what they're doing is literally demonizing the police departments across America and all law enforcement. They're talking about the number of folks that have been shot by police officers, and they've not even considered the number of law enforcement officers just this past 12 months. Their lives have been taken. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing today former Congressman District 1, Republican Congressman District 1 in the state of Florida. And I'm delighted to have him with us today, Mike Hill. And so you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917. Jump in with your dialogue and discussion. I'd love to hear from you.
Jason Lasco says hello, by the way.
That's good.
Good. You're out there listening to us, brother. And as other folks are listening, feel free to shoot us a message, text or Facebook. We do appreciate the interaction.
I believe we have Jose on the line. Go over the question and comment, Jose.
Hey, I got a question for the gentleman that is with you. Since when America has become the world's babysitter? Is it a mandate that America has to take care of all those unfortunate kids? Don't get me wrong, you know, as a Christian, yeah, I mean, it's horrible. But where are the parents? I wonder what kind of parents is a person that, according to the media, send them. I don't believe that, to be honest. They've been used, and they send it, and they stay back trying to claim it. How about the one that they voted on last week? They want to reinstate Donald Trump's DNA test. It only takes between 3 and 5 minutes. All the to see their relatives, their doll and the child. All the Republicans voted for it, but all the Democrats voted against it.
You're not allowed to apply common sense in this world today. The fact that those children, by the way, down a different topic path, but those children at the border are being abused horrifically. Yeah. They're being trafficked both for human slavery as well as sex slavery. They're being used by the cartels as a distraction so that they can run their methamphetamine and cocaine and everything else across the border. This is an evil, evil, evil thing, and Pandora's box has been opened both by the Obama administration and now the Biden administration. Trump was the first president in 50 years that took the issue seriously, and more importantly than all of these other things, it's a horrible human tragedy. But there's also the risk, the threat to us, because anything can cross that border with the wide open porous border that we have. Even with 400 miles of new fence, we have a porous border still in place, and Biden has left it in place.
Absolutely. Congressman, how about responding to that, if you would, please, from a political professional background that is that you have? How do you respond to Jose's question?
Well, first of all, what we are seeing is a man-made human tragedy. This was caused by poor decision-making of the Biden administration. And now they're trying to blame it on Trump, which is insane. They created this situation, which goes well beyond the horrific nature that we see initially. These children who are being abused. This is how it gets even worse when you start looking to the future. Children now do not have a father present in their life. And all data and statistics point to the fact that when there is not a father in a child's life, they grow up poverty, they grow up poor, they grow up with mental and social issues. They are more prone to commit crimes. They are more prone to become dependent on society. We are going to be paying for this for the next generation or two.
Your Honor,
Democrats are seeing is a potential voting bloc in the future who are dependent on government.
Absolutely. Jose,
My final question that I got for you is, hello? Yes, my final question that I have is, those kids are going to be the new dreamers. How can we stop that nonsense?
Yes.
That's going to be the next lie in 3-4 years. Make no mistake about it. Oh, poor kids, they are dreamers again. That's just sad. Thank you very much. I've been listening.
Thank you so much, Jose. I think I'll answer that one. The reality is the chief executive under Article 2 is required to faithfully execute the law. Now, under Barack Obama, we saw a failure to faithfully execute the law. And Joe Biden, the moment he entered office, he actually reversed a series of executive orders that were intended to faithfully execute the law. Now, I got something for you, Mike, Your Honor. There's something that took place, and it seems like this assault on law enforcement has been exacerbated as of late. The officer involved in this shooting a couple of days ago, immediately, not only was her name released, but the media apparently published her home address.
Yes.
Now, to me, that seems to be jeopardizing her very life. I understand that it's either security in place or essentially she's in fear for her life now. That split-second decision, it was a mistake on her part. It cost a life. She's already been arrested. She's already facing serious jail time. But her life is being threatened by the mob, and the media has opened Pandora's box by allowing her. And you know what? In Northeast Florida, a police officer can file and have their address protected. So literally you can't find them anywhere in the public information system. You know, looking at geographic information system, you're looking at address. You can't find law enforcement if they want to make sure that they're not found. And that's a safety precaution. We don't want police officers or investigators or whatever having thugs show up at their door at 3 a.m. in the morning. How in the world is it appropriate or right or allowable for a police officer's personal information, including their home address, to be released?
It is not appropriate at all, and it was intentional. They did that with the intent of having this mob go to her home and not only attack her, but her family. And it is a gross infringement upon her privacy and upon her protection that she needs after going through an incident like this, and just for being a police officer. And you're correct, in Florida, they cannot do that. It's called doxing, and you can't do that in Florida. And in fact, it's not only police officers, but it is a number of others who are part of the judicial system, judges, clerks of court, and so forth, all need to be protected from those thugs. And what we are seeing is the Biden administration, the left, the Democrats, are doing their best to follow the Marxist doctrine of division, class division. They tried initially, particularly during the 60s, of saying that the rich against the poor. But they found that that didn't work so well because the poor can become rich in America relatively easily. You simply go to work and you stay married. And so that didn't work so well. So they had to come up with different divisions. So now they're using race. And they're finding that race seems to be working because you can't change your race as easily as you can change your economic status. And so now they're using race, not only between black and white, but now they're bringing up this whole idea of Asian American racism. And the young man who committed that horrible crime in Atlanta and murdered those ladies who were at that massage parlor. And the chief of police says it was a racist incident. And the young man said, no, it wasn't. He said, that wasn't it at all. He said, I didn't kill them because they were Asian. He said, I killed them because I'm crazy. But then the police chief comes back and says, no, you don't know what you're talking about. It was racism. They are trying their best to create that division, because once there's that great division within a nation, then they can come in and say, okay, we're going to fix this. And how we're going to fix it is with a national police force. We're going to control behavior. We're going to control everything you're doing. And we see it even with this COVID-19 nonsense going on.
Absolutely. Congressman, with that being said, one of the things that perhaps we have listeners that would be asking the question, whether they call in or not, asking the question, why should Christians, why should conservatives and Christians and patriots, why should we be concerned about what we see taking place in America today? Politically, ethically, morally, constitutionally, why should we be concerned?
Because this nation was formed, framed, by Christian principles. Our Constitution is wholly made only for moral and religious people. It is completely insufficient without that. And so as Christians, we need to stand up. We need to remain firm in our faith. Otherwise, this nation will fall. And it won't fall just because of the poor decisions that are being made by those in leadership. It'll also fall because God will remove his hands of blessings and mercy on this great nation. That is what has sustained us. That is what has made us so prosperous and so powerful, is God's hands of protecting and blessing this nation. Christians must stand up. The best way for us to have good leaders, virtuous leaders, who make decisions for us, are for Christians to get involved and make sure you vet the candidates who you are voting for. And when I say vet, don't just ask them, are you conservative? Ask them, are you a Christian?
Yes.
Because if you do not, then you're going to have unvirtuous, immoral people as your leaders. When instead you need to ask that question, are you a Christian? And tell me how you became a Christian. Give us your testimony. Now, tell us about your conservative principles that you stand for. That is what we must do as a body, as a church of the living God.
Very well said. I couldn't have said it better myself. We've got about 15 seconds before the top of the hour news. Let me tuck this in, Congressman. I'm looking at an article by Tucker Carlson. It says, Americans are enslaved. Fox News' Tucker Carlson said Friday he believed that a poll showing a decline in church membership indicates that Americans are enslaved. And right after the top of the hour news, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk further about that. Our guest today is Mike Hill, former Congressman District 1, State of Florida, representative. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.